A reading from the first book of Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have chosen my king from among his sons." As Jesse and his sons came to the sacrifice, Samuel looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as man sees, does God see. Because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." In the same way, Jesse presented seven sons before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any one of these." Then Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" Jesse replied, "There is still the youngest who is tending the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him. We will not begin the sacrificial banquet until he arrives here." Jesse sent and had the young man brought to him. He was ruddy, a youth handsome to behold, and making a splendid appearance. The Lord said, "There, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel, with a horn of oil in his hand, anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul.
The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want.
He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side. With your rod and your staff that give me courage.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them. For it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. May the Lord be in your heart and on your lips.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. I am the light of the world, says the Lord. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming, when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and smeared the clay on his eyes, and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed, and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now, Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time, they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us? Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered and said, Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, I do believe, Lord. And he worshipped him. Then Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, Surely we are not also blind, are we? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, We see. So your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I have worn glasses since the second grade. Now, if I take them off, you all just disappear. If I look around the room, all I see is this big fuzzy blur of colors that sort of all blend into each other. And honestly, if you sat there really, really quietly and didn't move, I might not even know you're there. Okay, it's pretty bad. It's a defect of physics, you know, of optics. The lenses of my eyes simply don't focus the light properly on the back of my retina, so I can't see things as they really are. For those of you who wear glasses, you know what I'm talking about. If you've been blessed with good vision, however, I ask you to think about maybe you've seen a movie or a television show where they do one of these rack out of focus shots and everything goes super blurry. That's how I see all the time. In fact, in Jesus' day, I probably would have been considered blind because I can't even see the hand on the end of my arm. Okay? That's how bad it is. But with the help of my glasses, the light properly focuses. The light bends into a path that enables me to see things as they really are. Well, in just such a way, each one of us goes through life not quite clearly seeing Jesus, the light of God in the world, properly. And we do so more or less in varying degrees as we progress in our faith journey. Now, as people of faith, we believe, we profess, Jesus came into the world to be our light that drives away the darkness of sin and enables us better to see God, ourselves, our neighbors, as God would have us see them. Now, our first glimpse into how differently God sees things is in our first reading today. Okay? The prophet comes to Jesse. Going to have this big fancy dinner, going to anoint somebody, right? And God tells him he's not there. The least member of the family got stuck with sheep duty when the important guy was coming, right? God says, no, go get him, have him come here, anoint him. Now Samuel is surprised by God's choice, but he does it anyway because, as the scripture says, not as man sees does God see. Because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart. This message of God being one of surprises, one who sees things differently, one who chooses differently from the way we do, occurs over and over in the Old Testament. We saw it last week, right? Joseph was chosen over the other 11 brothers. You know, just as his father, Jacob, was chosen over his older brother, Esau. I mean, in another place, God tells Gideon to reduce the size of his army down to only 300 guys so that when they defeat an army of thousands upon thousands, it will be obvious to everyone that it was a miracle. In today's gospel, we see a blind beggar, somebody who could easily have been overlooked, just part of the scenery as you're going about your day-to-day business on the side of the road, might not even notice him. Yet this man is the recipient of a great gift from Jesus. First off, Jesus dispels the idea that was very, very prevalent in that early, you know, first century time, that a person's sickness, illness, deformity, inability to do something was directly linked to the amount of sinfulness that they had in their lives. Jesus says, no, that's not it. That's not it at all. And he specifically says that this man's blindness was so that the glory of God might be revealed, that God's works might be made visible. In other words, this man was asked to suffer blindness so that he could be part of a teaching moment for Jesus in that moment, and then having been recorded in the Gospels for every successive generation after that, all the way down, including us. We still remember this teaching moment. Now, an interesting thing happens to this man after he regains his physical sight. We go back and forth between conversation and conversation, and I realize this was a really long gospel reading. Thank you all for your patience and standing there through the whole thing. But as we go from one scene to another, each time the blind man is asked to describe Jesus, he brings it up a notch in a journey of faith. The first time, Jesus is, you know, this guy made some mud and stuck it in my eye. The next time, he is a prophet. He is a prophet. Then in a truly amazing speech to the Pharisees, which, by the way, I heartily recommend that you go back and reread on your own when you get a chance, this man says to them, he must be from God. And he is amazed that the men who are the leaders, the teachers, the ones who have the example of the law and the prophets, don't get that. And ultimately, he calls Jesus Lord, recognizing him as God and worshiping him. Now, to drive home the point further, Jesus pushes the Pharisees a little bit. He tells them their sin is greater for not recognizing him despite being experts in the law. In other words, the blind guy had it right. His amazement that they knew the law, knew the prophets, and yet still did not recognize the signs of the Messiah that were happening all around them, which St. John in his gospel takes exquisite pains to point out as Jesus heads towards Jerusalem. For you and I, our lives are kind of like what St. Paul writes. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. He's referring to our baptism, which is sometimes also referred to as enlightenment, in which we die to the darkness of sin and rise to the light of Christ to become his light in the world that he calls us to be. In fact, during the ceremony, we light a candle and we hold it near the person being baptized, and we have a prayer and a plea for them to take the light of Christ out of the church and into the world. So as we come to this halfway point in Lent, this Laetare Sunday, this joyful Sunday, let's ask ourselves, are we bringing Christ's light out into the world? What must we do to adjust our sight to see others as God sees them, or even to see ourselves as God sees us? Keeping in mind the Pharisees, given the benefit of the gospel message, the sacraments, and 2,000 plus years of guidance by the Holy Spirit ever since that first Pentecost Sunday, are we open to the light, or are we as blind as the Pharisees? When we look on the Holy Eucharist, do we stop at just seeing the bread and the wine? Or are our eyes opened by the light to see the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ present therein? If we have trouble with any of this, then today, Let's ask Jesus, the divine physician, to be our eye doctor of our soul, that we might see. God love you.